This week marks the 40th year of Palestinian struggle against the Israeli occupation of the West Bank and Gaza Strip, which Israel seized during the Six-Day War. It has also been 40 years since the British government expelled the indigenous population of Diego Garcia, an island in the Indian Ocean, and made way for the third largest military base, a base that is used to launch airstrikes against Afghanistan and Iraq. While Palestinian refugees still dream of the right to return, the exiled islanders recently won an appeal in British courts for their right to return to Diego Garcia. However, following their protracted battle with the U.S. and British governments, it is unclear whether they will be allowed to do so. At the same time, sections of the Bush administration are further stepping up their efforts to justify a possible attack on Iran.
Today, we spend the hour with John Pilger, an award-winning, renowned investigative journalist, author, documentary filmmaker, who can tie all of this together. He has spent the better part of his life documenting the destructive footprint of American empire and the resistance it has met. John Pilger has made 57 documentaries. He's the author, most recently, of the book Freedom Next Time, Resisting the Empire, which looks at ongoing struggles in Afghanistan, Diego Garcia, India, Palestine, South Africa. Welcome to Democracy Now!
Thank
John.
You, Amy.
It's nice to have you on this side of the Atlantic.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Talk about the main thesis of your book and your latest film, Resisting Empire.
Well, the book is about empire, as you say. It's about resisting empire, but it's about how modern empire works, and especially through misinformation. It's about double standards. It's about censorship by omission, which runs through so much of the mainstream media. And it's about that eternal struggle, if you like, of the struggle of people against power and the struggle of people against the abandonment of collective memory and historical memory. And the title Freedom Next Time comes from, I suppose, looking at a number of struggles where people have glimpsed freedom, in some cases have touched it, as in South Africa, but it's yet denied to them, and it's denied to them by the forces of empire.
I was particularly struck in the section on South Africa, where you talk about really the difference between the expectations that the population had once apartheid was eliminated and the reality. I think you mentioned at one point that about 700,000 people had been evicted in the 10 years from lands in the 10 years before the revolution triumphed, but yet more have been evicted since then, over 900,000, and that it's even actually easier now to evict poor South Africans from the land than it was before the revolution.
You may say apartheid died in South Africa, the political apartheid died, with the release of Mandela and the elections in 94, but economic apartheid was actually reinforced. And the evictions you mentioned flow directly from that. The ANC government consciously took this decision to go with a form of neoliberal economy in South Africa, which almost by definition excluded the majority. Yes, there have been great advances. Water and electricity has gone through to some of the poorer townships, but you have now something like 5 million children suffering from very severe malnutrition. You have evictions. What you do have is some people in the black townships actually speaking nostalgically of the last years of official apartheid. Then they didn't have to pay for their water, their electricity. And I suppose what has happened is that a new elite, a new black elite, they're known rather sardonically in South Africa as the Wabenzi, because they prefer big silver Mercedes-Benz to drive around in. They are on boards, they own some of the new rising entrepreneurial companies, but basically they're a cover for the continuation of white economic power in South Africa.
But you also mentioned that in, I think it was in 97, you had interviewed Mandela, and he had talked about the laws that they were implementing to be able to to close the economic gap. What happened in terms of that period when the ANC had a chance to actually move in the direction of eliminating that gap?
I think the ANC decided in the last 10 years before apartheid was officially abandoned and before they came to power of a series of what they call historic compromises. Well, that all sounds very well, but what it meant was compromising with the economic masters of South Africa, compromising with the great corporations. It meant compromising on an international level with the United States, with the past and future great investors in South Africa. It was one of those wonderful historic split seconds where a whole leadership led by Mandela had this wonderful opportunity to actually defy the masters of the world and say, no, we're going to do it this way. That happens very rarely, and they didn't. And again, I say, yes, there have been great advances. There have been in multiracial situations and in education and so on and so forth. But the majority of the people of South Africa remain more or less in the kind of poverty that they experienced before. And that's not what the ANC's Freedom Charter in the 1950s said, and it's not what the ANC leaders said. I think, as unfortunately so often happens, they were seduced by the siren song of, Davos and the multinational corporations and
the sugar-coated bullets.
Yeah, this is the grown-up way you take a country. This is the way, and if you do that, then you'll be part of the community. And there is Thabo Mbeki, a favored son at some of the great economic confabs around the world.
We're going to look at Diego Garcia, an island that most people in this country know very little about, except that they know there's a major U.S. military base there, perhaps, if they know that. We'll look at Israel and Palestine. We will also look at, the U.S.-British relationship, where you have lived in Britain for many years, Tony Blair and George Bush together for the final time, perhaps, at the G8. But first, we're going to go to break.